From WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
What is up, ladies and gents? Yes, it is about that time, 1 o'clock on a beautiful Thursday afternoon. The sky has cleared up. It was pretty rainy this morning. Glad it cleared up. It's a picture-perfect day. It's been a picture-perfect week, and I'm so glad you have allowed Current Sports to be a part of it. We have a stacked show in store for you. Our phone lines will be open throughout this entire hour from 1 to 2 p.m. Looking forward to you all calling in. We'll talk Tigers, Tom Izzo, as well as Throwback Thursday, and Miles Boykin going to Notre Dame. All of that and so much more, but as custom here on the show, before we get to all of that action, here are your Current Sports Quick Hit Headliners.
Good afternoon, I am Matthew Luckey, and these are your Current Sports Quick Hit Headliners for Thursday, June 3rd. A scary afternoon for those on the campus of MSU yesterday. Spartan Stadium had been evacuated Wednesday afternoon due to a bomb threat. The university announced on its Twitter feed at 3:47 p.m. that the stadium and surrounding areas had been evacuated. A nearby running track and the university's central services garage were also evacuated. According to the city of East Lansing, Michigan State University police reopened Spartan Stadium and the surrounding areas as of 5:12 p.m. Wednesday after a search revealed no bomb. For the second time in 10 hours, Michigan State has missed out on a four-star recruit for which it was strongly in the running. Miles Boykin, a 2015 wide receiver from Illinois, announced Wednesday night that he's committed to Notre Dame. MSU was one of six of Boykin's announced finalists. He took multiple visits to East Lansing, including one before the spring game and one the weekend before his announcement. This announcement comes after four-star Minnesota defensive end Jashawn Cornell announced his commitment to Ohio State Wednesday morning. Doug Wojcik, men's basketball coach at College of Charleston and a former Michigan State assistant under Tom Izzo, is expected to be placed on probation this summer and undergo counseling for alleged verbal abuse of his players, reports the Post and Courier. Wojcik had been under investigation for several weeks after allegations of verbal abuse came to the attention of the school's administration, the newspaper reports. He's expected to spend the month of August on probation and undergo 2 weeks of counseling. ESPN has ranked the top 50 coaches in college basketball, and Michigan State's Tom Izzo cracked the top three. Behind only Florida's Billy Donovan and Kentucky's John Calipari, Izzo's Final Four heavy track record earned him the third spot. While missing the Final Four last season ended his streak of taking every four-year player to college basketball's main event, the consistent success of the Michigan State program earned him the lofty ranking. While it wasn't a walk-off grand slam or a complete game shutout, the Tigers completed a series sweep of the Oakland A's yesterday with a 9-3 victory. Justin Verlander settled down after a rocky start to pitch six innings of two-run ball, and the Tigers scored six runs in the sixth inning to take control of the game. Torrey Hunter had three hits and three RBIs to lead the Tigers' offense, his first multi-hit game since June 14th. The Tigers will look to continue their momentum with a four-game series against the Tampa Bay Rays. At Wimbledon, Andy Murray became the latest big name to fall, losing to Grigor Dimitrov in three sets. Roger Federer and Novak Djokovic came back in their matches to advance in the semifinals of the men's bracket. While on the women's side, Canada's Eugenie Bouchard defeated Simona Halep to advance to the final, where she'll face 2011 Wimbledon champion Petra Kvitova. A new book has shown that Alex Rodriguez was given permission to take testosterone prior to the 2007 MLB season. Rodriguez went on to win the MVP award that year after hitting 54 home runs and driving in 156 runs, both Major League Baseball highs. The following offseason, Rodriguez was granted a 10-year, $275 million contract. A-Rod is currently suspended for the 2014 season for his role in the Biogenesis scandal. In NBA free agency news, the Toronto Raptors have inked point guard Kyle Lowry to a new deal. According to Yahoo Sports, the deal is a four-year, $48 million contract that also includes an early termination option after the third season. The Raptors beat out the likes of the Miami Heat, Los Angeles Lakers, and Houston Rockets as potential suitors for the point guard. He led the Raptors to back-to-back playoff appearances, averaging 17.9 points, 7.5 assists, and 4.7 rebounds per game last season. And lastly, in other NBA free agency news, Kobe Bryant has returned from a European vacation to help orchestrate a pitch to Carmelo Anthony, according to close sources with knowledge of the situation. The Bulls, Mavericks, and Rockets have also made pitches to the All-Star this week. That wraps up your current sports quick hit headliners for today, Thursday, July 3rd. We'll send it back to Al to start the show.
All right. Thanks a lot, Matt. Again, those are your current sports quick hit headliners. Our phone lines are now open. They will be open throughout this entire hour from 1 to 2 p.m. 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. If you have anything you want to get off your chest or anything you want to discuss with us right here live on Current Sports, I am certainly excited about today's show. It is the day before July 4th, ladies and gents. Yes, I'm sure many of you will be breaking out the grill and the hot dogs and hamburgers, maybe bringing out that boat that's in the garage and, you know, taking off the shirt and the shorts and going out in the lake. Oh, man, it's going to be a fun time for all of you out there. And we're actually going to have an interesting contest on tomorrow's Current Sports. We're going to have a little fun, little July 4th fun. And, you know, each and every July 4th, and for those of you who follow this event, each and every July 4th on ESPN, they hold the National Hot Dog Eating Contest. And it is broadcast live on ESPN. Of course, the most notable name in this competition, and has been for quite some time now, is Joey Chestnut. Joey Chestnut actually set the Guinness World Record for most hot dogs consumed in this whole hot dog eating contest with 69 hot dogs. He scarfed down 69 of those boys. Can you believe that? It's unbelievable stuff. So in honor of that whole fiasco, again, that will be taking place tomorrow on July 4th, I believe the competition starts in the morning. I know the women's competition starts at 11 a.m. I'm not sure when the men's competition begins, but it's going to be it's always a fun time watching that event on television, and we love it so much here on Current Sports at WKAR that we decided to bring a little hot dog eating contest flavor right here on the radio show. And we will be doing that, folks, and you'll get to see who pulls out the win. And I just got word, though, before we took the air today, that Matt won't be able to participate in our hot dog eating contest because, Matt, you're feeling a little sick right now, right?
Now, hold on. I do feel a little under the weather, but I don't know if I'm going to use that as an excuse to get out of the hot dog eating contest.
Well, I'm just going on what Alex told me because I walked in and Alex was like...
And since that conversation I had with Alex,
right,
took an Advil.
You feeling good about it?
I got a Ricola in right now. I'm not going to let this, you know, sideline me from a great competition, the inaugural hot dog eating contest here on Current Sports.
See, look at that, Alex. See, you try to give him the okie doke when he's fine.
No, I'm not going to throw Alex under the bus.
Right.
That's exactly what I had told him.
You did show Alex.
Circumstances
okay.
have changed since that conversation.
Breaking news. Circumstances
Breaking
have changed. Okay.
News.
I was about
Put
to say, I was about to
Twitter.
Pounce on Alex.
call the press. We got to let him know I'm back in the game.
He's back in the game. And you know, Matt, out of all three of us, Matt has been the most, I think he's laser focused out of all of us.
He's the pioneer of the inaugural competition.
Yeah, Matt is ready. I'm scared to go against Matt. I know I'm not going to win this thing. Yeah.
That's the exact reason why I wanted to face you, Al, and that's why I was very happy when Matt originally withdrew, because I knew Matt was ready to go.
If it's going to be easier for everybody, I'll withdraw. Well, I'll just eat a couple hot dogs, because
no.
I enjoy hot dogs, and I didn't have lunch today.
But you know what? I'm so competitive. You know, the eye of the tiger comes out. I don't care. Like I always say, if I'm playing my grandma in Goldfish, okay, I'm not just trying to beat grandma. I'm trying to stomp on grandma, okay? And that's in anything I'm participating in. So, Alex, I'm still going to bring it. I'm still going to participate, and I'm going to just kind of, you know, be the play-by-play guy when you guys go at it. And then I'll see if I can beat whoever, you know, scarfs down the most hot dogs between you guys. So it's going to be fun because I'm going to bring the camera in here, too. And you will get to see this extravagant event. Not only hear it on Current Sports tomorrow, but also, you hear that? Yeah, we're ready. We're getting pumped for this thing, baby. And you will also get to see that competition next week on Current Sports TV. So, it's a lot of pressure.
You're going to put the editing crew through a lot, because I feel like they're going to have to put those pixels in to blur out when something goes wrong and somebody can't keep them down or something.
I hope not,
man. God forbid, but
I'm supposed to be playing ball later on today, too. So
you might have to cancel those plans.
Yeah, and I was worried about my health during that point. So It's going to be a fun July 4th episode. But man, oh man, we have a great show in store for you all today. It's going to be one where we're just going to go right at it with discussion, the topic. We've been so bombarded, especially yesterday's show, with actually not one, but two guests that we really didn't get to talk about anything. I mean, if I didn't look up and notice it was 12:59, I probably would have talked this into the end of the show. So we're going to bring the discussion on today's Current Sports and open up our phone lines, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. We're going to try to talk about it all on today's show, and we're going to start off by talking about those Tigers. Matt, as Matt just alluded to in our Current Sports Quick Hit Headliners, the Tigers get a really, really nice sweep of the Oakland A's yesterday. They finished things off against the A's with a 9-3 win at home. How about JV? He settled down after a rocky start to pitch six innings of two run ball, and the Tigers scored six runs in the sixth inning to take control of the game. Torrey Hunter, he was solid. Three hits, three RBIs to lead the Tigers offense. And they will now look to ride this momentum into a four-game series against the Tampa Bay Rays. Mad impressive series, though. And, you know, I was waiting to do this, to bring this thing really down now with my panic meter.
I knew it was coming. I'm surprised it took us as long as it did to mention
well, you know,
that
I was waiting for it to have, you know, a series sweep against a team like the Oakland A's, a solid, solid team. I mean, that's impressive. That's very, very impressive. And I not only look at how the Tigers got this sweep, but the way in which they did it. I mean, if you look at the starting pitching for this team, I mean, it was flawless. It was a flawless effort each and every time for the starting pitching with the Tigers, every time they took them out against the A's. And this is the first time in quite a while where each of the starters in this series throughout a three-game sweep have not allowed a walk. That's pretty impressive. So it shows me that this team was certainly lasered in. Austin Jackson also awakened. You know, Brad Ausmus was really confident in keeping him at that leadoff spot. Austin Jackson looked great yesterday. Looking at the evolution on how they won these games, you get a close win in that first one, you know, with the walk-off grand slam. The Tigers look very impressive. They seem more focused now, which is why I'm more confident looking at this team now than I was before this series began.
Right. Now, if you had to put a number on it.
It's down to because it wasn't 8.8 yesterday. Now, I've been flirting right between 8.8 and 9.2, right? It's down to probably a 7.5, 8.
Wow.
Yeah, I brought it down a lot, man.
Wow.
I was waiting for a series like this.
It's about time now. It is about time. They definitely have rebounded. Those June woes, I think, are firmly in the rearview mirror. Mm-hmm. You know, a sweep of Oakland, best record in baseball. You get three wins in different ways, like you said. You know, the Grand Slam comeback win, complete game shutout from Porcello, who is quietly having an absolutely great year. Easily the best year of his career so far.
Right.
And then you get JV, you know, gives up two solo homers in the first inning.
Yeah, I got a
little
nervous.
Settles down, just gets guys out, and they win. And, you know, they roll to a big win. The offense kind of wakes up. I mean, the first game was close, but the last two were solid, solid victories.
Solid wins.
And you gotta, I think when you do that to a team like Oakland,
yeah.
I mean, you can't complain.
And you look at that first game, and if you remember, too, you know how we've harped on the bullpen so much. Even in the bullpen aspect, and you bring in a guy like Phil Koch, you know, he was very solid in salvaging and giving the Tigers a chance to win in that first game. So, I mean, they won in multiple areas. Alex, what are your thoughts on the Tigers this past series with the Oakland A's?
The biggest story for me coming out of our conversation yesterday on the air was the concern of Austin Jackson. And look at that.
He was great, wasn't he?
3-for-5, 2 runs, comes back great. And we were even bringing up in the conversation that maybe he needs to be benched now. So I think now, Nate, let's see if this gets on a roll for him. We'll see what happens. 3-for-5, that's the first multi-hit game he's had in the last 3 weeks, maybe 2-3 weeks. So that's a good sign. JV coming back for his first win, good sign. But the fact that they did win it with the Grand Slam, with JV's first good game, the timing's great. But keep in mind, these are firsts. They're not going to get walk-off Grand Slams all the time. JV, the way he's played this year, he's not going to pitch as well as he did and settle back like he did compared to the past four or five games.
But I tell you what, it was encouraging looking at JV yesterday, a guy who he started off the game terrible. And I'm sitting there like, oh, here we go again. You know, JV is still not, you know, he's still having these woes. And to see him kind of take a step back, refocus, retune, and bring his good stuff and was able to be effective in that regard. I mean, that shows his mental toughness is still there. And some shades of the old JV still in that tank, you know, which you have to be encouraged by that.
Yeah, encouraging. But what I take out of this series is it's against a great team in baseball. I want to see what they do against teams in their division coming up. That's a big series for me. If you remember all the times that they've struggled, Kansas City taking games from them, Cleveland rocking them a little bit. So I'm very, very cautious until they play division teams. Then I'll say that they're back. But
yeah, but you know, you look at a team like the Oakland A's. I mean, they're a team who's leading the AL West right now, and they're a solid, solid team. And you know, going back to that 9-20 stretch, there were still a lot of question marks as to how this team would rebound and when they would rebound. I was waiting for them to get a solid, solid series win, not a 2-1 win, but a sweep against a formidable team. And it came with the Oakland A's. And looking at, you know, and again, going back to Austin Jackson, I think right now, moving him to that leadoff spot, and Brad Ausmus was very adamant in saying, okay, I understand Jackson is struggling here. There were multiple reports. We talked about it here on the show about possibly benching him or moving him and shifting him more, you know, more around in that lineup. The risk you run there is that Austin Jackson really is the really only solid, legitimate center fielder that you have on that team. So if you do bench him, you're losing out of that aspect, which is why I wanted to see how he played in this series before you put the plug on him. And he came through. I mean, putting him in that leadoff spot is a spot that he has been relatively comfortable in throughout his career, and which brings about a little confidence for him, which was huge. I'm glad Brad Ausmus, he stuck to his guns on this one. I got to give him a shout out on that one. That was impressive.
Comfortable is the word, but if I'm not mistaken, he was moved to the five spot because simply his bat was just great in training towards the spring. He just looked to be a better hitter. And it's funny because he was a better hitter, if you look at statistically now, when he was leadoff compared to what he's done in the fifth spot and even moving down a little bit more. So I don't know what you have to think, Matt, but maybe he's just meant to be a leadoff hitter. Maybe just his being comfortable, maybe he just needs to be back to leadoff.
I would leave him there right now. I think I see him more comfortable. What do you think, Matt? What do you think?
I think you do too. I think really fighting for that walk to set up the grand slam in game one of the series
that was big.
Is huge from a confidence standpoint. And if you can kind of get that going, because that's what it was. It was all confidence. We know Austin Jackson has all the physical tools to be a successful hitter and a successful leadoff hitter in the major leagues.
Right.
He just lost all confidence. I mean, he was terrible in the playoffs last year. He struggled this year. I mean, he was up and down this year, I suppose. He was in a down spell, which honestly, I mean, when you think about the Tigers' month of June, he wasn't the only one who had been down recently. You know, I mean, he wasn't the only one in a slump. The whole team was in a slump.
Right.
So for him to come back, contribute in that way. Granted, it's not he hits the game-winning double or anything, but he fights for a walk. Nine pitches?
It was a nine-pitch count.
Fouls off a couple of 2-2 pitches. I mean, he stays alive.
He was very patient and smart in that whole thing.
Exactly, and that's huge because now he can kind of take that mindset into future games. Obviously, it's rubbing off for the rest of the series. I think if he keeps that going, and if the Tigers can keep things going into the All-Star break, they've got a 4.5 game lead on Kansas City right now. Mm-hmm. They've got a series with the Royals before the All-Star break. That's their last series before the break.
Right.
If they can go in with at least a 5-game lead, I think they'll be fine.
Yeah, I think so, too. And, you know, another thing that was remarkable about this series specifically is that they're doing this without Victor Martinez. You know, Victor Martinez, you know, Brad Ausmus made an educated decision to sit him out. You know, Victor V-Mart has been a workhorse throughout this entire year. And, you know, that put a little more pressure on Miguel Cabrera. Not like he's not used to that. You know, he's Miguel Cabrera, for goodness sake. But, you know, getting quality wins against the Oakland A's in a series sweep against the A's without V-Mart, who's been arguably your most consistent dominant hitter throughout this entire season so far. I mean, that's impressive. That's very, very impressive. And, you know, again, a very smart move by Tigers manager Brad Ausmus. I liked his moves in this series, and I think, you know, right now the Tigers are starting to roll here, and I'm interested to see how the season goes on. I got a question for you guys, though. Looking at, because JV went out and said this after yesterday's game with the All-Star break coming up and so on and so forth, and with the season that JV has had, and he's not had many, you know, too many moments of positivity since he's taken the mound throughout this year so far. And he said that he doesn't think he's going to be a part of the All-Star team this year. He doesn't think he'll be voted. What do you guys think? Do you think he deserves to be an All-Star? Do you think JV will be an All-Star this upcoming season?
Typically with MLB players, even if you don't have a great year, you get voted in. Like you have a brand and a name that really helps with Major League Baseball. And I'd argue that even with the NBA, the similar thing happens. The NFL, I think it's a hit or miss. The NFL, you don't really have that much of a brand name. It's kind of performance-based. Same with hockey. But I think with baseball and especially basketball, you have a brand name, and that helps.
So you think he'll get in just by being JV?
I think he'll get in just by being JV because teams really don't cover or look into it like Detroit fans do. And it's voted by fans. So regardless of his disappointment from a Tiger standpoint, fans still love Justin Verlander. And Major League Baseball still knows he's still a very dominant pitcher with a huge arsenal. And he still has many intangibles to a pitcher that is unmatched by many. So I think he will.
Matt? Yeah, I kind of have to agree, and for a lot of the same reasons. It is all about your name. It's you know, people know Justin Verlander. And they see maybe he has a 7-7 record, but he's still JV. You know, people will still associate him with being the dominant pitcher that he was even as recently as last postseason. So I think he'll get there. If it was just based purely on performance, I don't think he deserves
no,
to
no.
be there.
I don't
but,
either. Yeah.
I mean, you've got he's a household name. He's now a tabloid fixture. We'll bring Kate Upton back into this.
He's on a Tigers team.
People are going to want to see her in the stands at the All-Star.
Right. Oh, yeah. Oh, man. I mean, that's, I look forward to
and
that.
And you're not alone in that. You are not alone in that. And even though that's completely ridiculous to factor in, it still factors in. Like, people will vote for him just for that reason. So it's like there's more things at work than just on-field performance, especially, Alex, like you said, with fan voting. Kobe Bryant was an All-Star.
Right.
Played six games last year.
With the MLB, so as far, correct me if I'm wrong here, with the MLB All-Star voting, do the fans get to vote the entire team?
Yep, that's
they
why.
They vote the entire team.
That's why
I didn't know that.
I believe the managers pick a player.
Yeah.
They do? That's it? But the entire team is composed of fan votes.
Yeah, Al, don't you see on television at games they have vote for Torrey, vote for Cabrera. That's all for All-Star.
Bro. I know they voted, but I didn't know they voted for just about the 90% of the team. I had no idea. I know at the NBA All-Star game, because I follow that so closely, the fans vote for the starters for each team, and then the coaches, they vote for the bench players. So I had no idea, though. That's interesting stuff. I do think in that regard, I mean, without a doubt, I mean, he is a name that is, you know, JV, is his name rings throughout the MLB, is synonymous with pitching that position. So, I mean, without a doubt. But does he deserve it? I have to agree with Matt. I would say no. What do you think, Alex?
Yeah, and I don't think he does either. But another defining aspect is he's on the Detroit Tigers. Fans typically look at first-place teams, dominant teams. They vote a couple of guys. Look what happened with the Pistons. They vote in Hamilton, Billups, Prince, Prince wasn't voted. Richard Hamilton wasn't voted, but it was Billups, Prince, Rasheed Wallace.
The year when they had all four? Wasn't that Billups, Ben?
Rasheed, and Prince. Hamilton was left out.
Rip got left off of that?
Or Prince. One of the two was left out.
I could have swore it was Rip Allen. I think it was Tayshaun that was left out.
Tayshaun might have been left
out. We'll research on that. I think it was Rip. I know what you mean. Yeah.
But anyway, that's the thing. It's the Pistons. And same with the Yankees. When the Yankees were dominant 3-4 years ago, they were voting A-Rod. They were voting Giambi. They were voting Ichiro. They voted pretty much 4 or 5 guys on the team just because they played for the Yankees. So I think that fans know the Tigers are the favorites. They know that the talent the Tigers have, a lot of all-star caliber guys, a lot of guys that played on previous teams. You look at V-Mart, you look at Torrey. That typically will help them.
Yeah. It was Tayshaun Prince who was left out.
Yeah. I thought Rip. I remember Rip City being there.
2006, but they did have 4 guys that year.
Yeah, Ben, Rasheed, Rip, and Chauncey. Yep. Interesting stuff. All right, guys. Well, let's move on here. Tom Izzo, ESPN has ranked the top 50 coaches in college basketball. They have been for quite some time now, week by week by week. And MSU's Tom Izzo cracked the number 3 spot, behind only Florida's Billy Donovan and Kentucky's John Calipari. Izzo's Final Four heavy track record named. That record alone earned him that 3rd spot. I mean, he's done so many impressive things. Really not surprising here, guys, when looking at this. I mean, Tom Izzo's a guy who has built quite the image over the years. I mean, you talk about a household name in sports. He is really, his name goes beyond just college basketball. I mean, you know, sometimes when watching, you know, ESPN telecast, they'll mention Tom Izzo's coaching technique, and, you know, guys in the NBA like a Draymond Green, and, you know, when Mo Pete played, they would bring up Tom Izzo's name. I mean, his name rings throughout the world of sports and basketball, of course. I mean, it's really, you know, when looking at his credentials for this, really didn't surprise me. And what really is interesting, though, when looking at, you know, the basketball program here, I mean, we've talked about this year after year when talking about MSU men's basketball. It's a blue-collar program, doesn't have the flashy players, but just solid players who have bought into a system of blue-collar worth ethic. And I love it. It's unbelievable. And, you know, it's more surprising when teams, you know, in the Tom Izzo era, don't make it to the Final Four, which is really, really a mind-blowing thing when you really think about it, considering how hard it is to make it to a Final Four. It's more surprising when MSU does not make it. Like this past year, I mean, this is the first senior class in Izzo's tenure that didn't have a chance to grace the Final Four. He was 6 points away from making that dream come true once again, which is really startling. And, you know, where the media is concerned, I love Tom Izzo as well. We can talk about that image that he has really cultivated over the years. It has a lot to do with the way he handles the media as well. I have never met a more honest, charismatic coach than Tom Izzo. I mean, he gives it to you straight up. He's not going to sugarcoat anything. When he goes into those pressers, the cameras must be rolling, because if they're not, you're going to miss something. He's an image.
Yes, he's an image. He's an icon. I mean, he is a titan in college basketball. He really is. And for the coach of Michigan State to be even in the top 10, I mean, before Izzo, really the only history they had on a national scale was Magic Johnson.
Right, exactly.
You know, and to take the program to where it is now, you know, competing with the Blue Bloods, the Kentuckys, the UCLAs, the Dukes, the North Carolinas, not only for recruits but for championships, is a testament to how hard he's working and what he's been able to build. I mean, it's incredible.
And he doesn't even get the biggest recruits. That's
another
thing that's so mind-blowing.
And they're still there. I mean, 17 consecutive NCAA tournament appearances, rather. I mean, that's unparalleled. That's crazy. I mean, we're spoiled because we're also in the area with the Red Wings, who make the playoffs every year, but that's even more impressive, I think, the NCAA tournament appearance, just because of the turnover you have in college sports. I mean, even in the lean years, you know, the 2011 when, you know, team chemistry kind of derailed the season, even in, you know, 2007 and 8 when there just wasn't a ton of talent on the team, they still played well enough to qualify for the tournament.
Right.
I mean, it's crazy. Even in the lean years, they're still good enough to get over the benchmark that most programs set for the season. So I think it's just a testament to what he's built. It's a religion here. I mean, people love college basketball. They love Michigan State basketball, and they love Tom Izzo. He's successful in the community. I mean, like you said, he's great with the press. I mean, he does things for the troops. I mean, Michigan State plays a high-profile game just about every year somewhere around the world, you know, giving back to people. I mean, he's just a great example to set for leaders in college sports, and, you know, Michigan State is lucky to have him, obviously.
Yeah, without a doubt. And, you know, it speaks volumes, too, because when looking at this list, even though I wasn't surprised he was number 3, the only surprising aspect to that ranking, I guess you would say, is looking at this past year and seeing as though that, you know, MSU did make it to a Final Four this season, I thought he might have taken a hit. You know, and taking a hit, maybe would have been, you know, he still would have been top 10, obviously, but maybe not, you know, top 5, you know. But still, Tom Izzo's image alone and what he's done in the past, and, you know, you talk about, you know, those accolades that he's had in the past, that alone gets him to that number 3 spot. I thought he would, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, looking at that number 3 ranking, I wouldn't have been surprised if they knocked him down a little bit because he didn't make it.
Yeah, so. I could see that too, but like you said, he's just that name.
Right,
and,
exactly.
And, you know,
that name speaks volumes.
He's behind, what, Billy Donovan and John Calipari?
Yeah, well, not officially, because they haven't revealed the top 2 yet. But as far as those comparing stats with, you know, because we talked about that in our quick hit headliners, I don't think they released the other two.
No.
Spots.
Billy Donovan and John Calipari are number 1. Billy Donovan
they
is
are.
Number 1.
Oh, they have
Calipari
released.
Calipari is number 2.
So that's interesting. Izzo also beat Coach K.
Coach K. He beat Roy Williams.
So
where was Coach K on that
beat
list?
Beat Bill Self. I mean, it's incredible, and it's deserved too, because, you know, Coach K is number 4. Rick Pitino's number 5. Rick Pitino, he beat Rick Pitino. I mean, these are names that have been around for
decades.
20, 30 years.
Yeah.
And he's topping them. It's incredible and well deserved. He's clearly, you know, one of the classiest coaches and one of the best coaches in college basketball.
Yeah,
without a doubt.
Without a doubt. All right, guys, let's hit the break. When we come back, we will chat a little NBA and NHL free agency, as well as Throwback Thursday and so much more. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Smile, even though it's breaking. When there are clouds.
All right, welcome back to Current Sports. I feel like I need to talk slow right now because that's a smooth song. Right? Who is that? Who is that, Alex?
That is Tony Bennett.
Tony Bennett. Yes, it's Throwback Thursday where we play throwback music here on today's Current Sports. And yeah, it's pretty soothing stuff, man. It's a famous Smile. Smile, that's a famous song right there. All right, welcome back to the show, folks. Let's dive into the free agency. And, you know, we didn't get a chance to get to this yesterday. I believe right when I was about to, I looked up and it was 12:59. Well, actually 1:59, excuse me. Getting my time
12:59 Central.
Yeah, 12:59 Central time, exactly. But, you know, I want to talk a little bit about the Red Wings free agency. You know, many people are calling it an obvious disappointing one because the Wings really, you know, they didn't get what they wanted. And they, you know, looking at multiple reports here, they wanted a defenseman, but no one wanted to take their talents to the D. This is from GM Ken Holland. He said, quote, "We made pitches to a number of defensemen for a variety of reasons. They opted to go elsewhere. I don't know why they're not coming here." End quote. Now, the Wings targeted right shot defensemen, of which, you know, were four of, you know, particular interest available. When you talk about, you know, Mac, and I'm going to butcher these names right now. Matt Niskanen, is that right?
Niskanen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just correct me, Matt, as we go here. I'll go along here. Dan Boyle, that's an easy one.
Nailed that one out.
Yep. Stefan, maybe? Robidias? Matt doesn't know.
I'll take that one.
And Anton Strawman. Are those right? Alex, do you know these names?
Yeah, we'll go with this.
Okay.
We'll go with that.
Well, you know, what it was really surprising, though, when diving into this and just reading about it, that there were multiple defensemen that the Wings targeted but did not want to come here. You know, was that surprising to you guys? Because, you know, thinking, you know, Hockey Town, the Detroit Red Wings, and their track record of success, you would think that, I mean, that, you know, at least they would land one of those guys.
Yeah, it's troubling. Now, if more than anything, I think it illustrates how much the landscape of the NHL has changed.
Yeah, it is.
Because back in the early 2000s, I'm sure everyone remembers, the Red Wings and Mike Ilitch would be just dropping money bags on aging Hall of Famers' doors and just saying, "Hey, Brett Hull, come play here. Hey, Luke Robitaille, come play here." I mean, anybody they could ever want, they would get. I mean, for a while there, they were the Yankees of the NHL. Then they get a hard salary cap, and the landscape starts to change. And I think now the luster has worn off. Dan Boyle signed with the New York Rangers for less money than the Red Wings offered.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, guys go to the Penguins, where Detroit's offering just as much, if not more, money. It seems like the trend is going away from Detroit, which is still surprising because even through all of that, if you sign with the Red Wings, you're almost guaranteed to go to the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, they had the incredible streak that just keeps on going, year after year.
It's puzzling because even in a season where Henrik Zetterberg and Pavel Datsyuk, two of the best players in the world, miss significant time, you know, these kids who come up from the Grand Rapids Griffins make enough of an impact to propel the Wings into the playoffs anyway. So it's weird to see Detroit not be that kind of marquee destination.
Yeah.
But I think that's kind of where we're going, where we're heading. And I think it's going to get worse before it gets better.
Do you think so?
I do.
Detroit would always not just be able to throw money and get guys, but they literally had the pick of the litter in who they would get as well. Like, names like Brett Hull and Robitaille, they would be pursued by 5-10 teams, and they choose Detroit. Like Matt said, he's alluding to something good here. The salary cap really has hurt Detroit now, and they can't really pick who they want. And another thing to add, and it is disappointing that they couldn't lock one of these guys up, but a lot of the guys that they sign typically just want to win. They just come here to win. They're older players. Most of these guys, like Dan Boyle, the other defensemen that they offered, they're not specifically older veterans that haven't won yet. These are guys that are up and coming in their mid-age hockey years. They're in their prime. So that's why I'm not too surprised, because typically they lock up guys that are older that haven't won yet. They guarantee the playoff streak because you always have a chance at winning the cup if you're the Wings. My last point here is that, especially with the legacies that the Red Wings have in defensemen, not only you're coming to Detroit to win, but you're with an elite group of defensemen. You're following in the paths of Lidstrom, Chelios, Larry Murphy. You're following in great footsteps of guys that have left their marks on the NHL, winning all types of trophies and all kinds of awards. And that, for me, is also surprising.
Yeah, but, you know, and another thing, just to add another aspect here to kind of play devil's advocate, I mean, sure, this is the free agency period has been a dark day for Detroit Red Wings fans and personnel alike. But, I mean, there's still some moments of positivity for this team when looking at their roster. I think that, you know, when having such a young team, them making the playoffs last year and getting that playoff experience, you know, that was certainly needed. When you talk about youngsters like Riley Sheehan, Tomas Tatar, and, you know, Danny DeKeyser, those guys, I mean, just still, this the future of this team, I'm still positive here that they can get things going and can probably add, you know, if they stay healthy too. That's another thing too. They were beaten up last year as well. If they stay healthy and, you know, looking at what these young kids were able to do last year and to still make the playoffs, you got to be encouraged in that regard if you are a Wings fan, though.
You have to be encouraged, but at the same time, you know, the best players for the Red Wings are in the twilights of their careers.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's not like Datsyuk and Zetterberg are getting any younger. And while the young guys are encouraging in the regard that they can produce at the NHL level, they're not. There's no one who jumps out at you as a star. I mean, Nyquist had a nice run. And, you know, we all thought maybe he was going to kind of ascend to that level, but he tailed off in the playoffs. And
right,
I think
right.
when you don't have that kind of star power coming up, it's tough to be that attractive destination. Unless, like Alex said, you are a guy who has only got a few years left. Like a Daniel Alfredsson, for instance. You know, he came to Detroit because obviously they had a bunch of Swedes on the team, and it gave him a chance to win a Stanley Cup, you know, definitely more so than he had in Ottawa. So
yeah,
I think, you know, going forward, it's going to be tough to attract free agents. Now, the one thing we haven't talked about, the new arena that is coming in the next few years. I think that is going to be maybe the best hope they have about, you know, becoming that marquee destination again. Because Joe Louis is a great facility.
It's old, man.
But it's old.
It's not nobody. I mean, it's got a lot of history, a lot of legacy behind it. But, you know, sometimes it's trying to, you know, just get away from the old and, you know, bring in the new. Because, you know, Joe Louis, I just get to a point where it's like, okay, well, you know, maybe we need to try something new here. So I think that'll definitely help. And, you know, there were only two players, though, that were healthy for this team and for an entire season last year. There were only two players that played in all 82 games. And, you know, superstars like Henrik Zetterberg and Pavel Datsyuk, they were beaten up. They played simultaneously in only 29 games. So, I mean, they got to stay healthy, too. That's another thing. It's tough to say that when you have a lot of guys still on that team who are up in age and are not in the twilights of their career. So, I don't know. We'll see. I just think that, you know, with free agency, and they didn't make the moves they wanted to. They didn't get the guys and that defenseman that they wanted. But let's not pull the plug on this team so early.
No. I mean, a team with a 23-year playoff streak is not one to be pushing the panic button on because they didn't sign a marquee free agent. I think the Red Wings will be fine, but they do have holes they need to fill.
Right. And it's so alarming because, you know, when the Wings, okay, it's fine making the playoffs. They do that routinely. But not going deep in the playoffs is a problem here because we're so used to them doing that, you know?
Right.
The expectations are high.
Yeah.
Skyrocket.
And they did re-sign Quincy, and although he's not the caliber that a Boyle is, Quincy's a fine defender, and he has a lot of potential. He's younger. I think he'll be fine. They still have some guys coming back. They have a good backing with Erickson, although he's been a little shaky. He was still around for quite a while.
And Quincy is one of those guys who played all 82 games.
Yeah.
He was healthy throughout the whole season. Yeah.
There's still a lot to look forward to, and now they're probably going to look maybe at a couple trades. Maybe they'll trade for a defender. They have some weapons up front. Maybe they just re-signed Peter Mrazek. Maybe they want to look at goaltenders in a shopping deal. Who knows? So they have some options to work with. We'll see what they do.
All right, guys. Before we hit the the second break here on our show, I got to bring up this. How about A-Rod? You know, the report being released by Yahoo Sports today that Alex Rodriguez, with the suspended New York Yankees slugger, he received permission by baseball officials to use testosterone during his 2007 MVP season. Again, USA Today Sports reported this. Yahoo Sports, I believe, are the media outlet that broke this story. And now the person was unauthorized to speak publicly about the exemption since he was not granted permission by Rodriguez, Major League Baseball, or Major League Players Association to discuss it. But the report is out there, and it is now released. And, you know, it's so interesting when listen to the radio and, you know, reading up on this story as well. You know, when you take steroids, your testosterone levels naturally decline. Naturally decline. If you're on steroids, testosterone goes down. And, you know, looking at that 2007 season, you know, when he went for a physical and when doctors saw that his testosterone levels were low, that's when he got permission to use testosterone to boost those levels. You know what? I think when it's all said and done, this research is finished, Matt. People are going to find out that the reason his testosterone levels were low and that he needed testosterone to boost him in 2007 was that he was on roids in the first place. I mean, it's just ridiculous, man.
It is.
It's comical.
It is comical. And he's also being sued by his lawyer for unpaid legal fees.
Yeah.
I thought when they handed him 162-game suspension, we would not have to hear about Alex Rodriguez for at least a year.
Exactly.
He somehow finds a way to weasel his way back into headlines.
Right, right.
It's crazy. Wouldn't you think that would be the biggest red flag?
Right. Like, why is his levels low? Right. You know what I mean? And why would his
arguably
levels be low?
Arguably the best player in baseball.
Exactly. Gosh.
Come on.
It makes no sense to me.
I feel like it's just, you know, selective blindness by
right.
the league.
Right. Oh, yeah, without a doubt. I mean, especially when you got a name like A-Rod, who definitely drove in a lot of money for the Yankees. He filled a lot of seats. He filled a lot of, you know, people who tuning into the Yankees game or just the MLB in general.
And he was the next big thing after Barry Bonds.
Exactly.
He was, you know, shrouded in all that controversy himself.
Right.
So they get the next fresh face to find out that he's doing it too. I could definitely see a scenario in which the league just said, nope, you know what, see no evil. We're gonna let this one slide. And
right.
now, obviously, it's come back to haunt him.
Yes, it certainly is. You know, I can't think of another player in Major League professional sports here in North America that has a more tarnished, ugly persona now than Alex Rodriguez. I mean, it is just, I can't name one person, you know, whether it be a friend, whether it be somebody on the national scene, a journalist on the national scene, you know, one of my family members. I can't name one person who is an A-Rod fan and can say a positive thing about him.
Yeah.
It's
no,
terrible.
You're right.
Not
I mean,
one.
Even
with LeBron.
He's been abandoned by everybody.
When LeBron had that whole, you know, decision whole thing, there were still, you know, people who still supported LeBron just because he was the phenomenon that he was. But, I mean, with A-Rod, I mean, now with this allegation now and going through this whole 211-game suspension by the MLB and looking at how he tried to cover it up and so on and so forth, I can't think of one person who looks at A-Rod in a positive light other than his family.
I feel like, you know, Lance Armstrong and Pete Rose maybe are just like clinking champagne glasses.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, I
think A-Rod has taken
the
championship belt as the most reviled figure in American sports.
Yeah, without a doubt. It's crazy stuff. All right, let's hit the break. When we come back, it is Thursday, Throwback Thursday. Not only do we play throwback music on this show each and every Thursday, but we'll take a look at what happened in sports history on this Thursday in the world of sports. Don't miss any of that. We'll be right back.
Start spreading the news. I'm leaving today. I want to be part of
Welcome back to Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, joined by Alex Sharg and Matt Luckey. It is Thursday, Throwback Thursday. Yeah, you hear the old school Temptation music. It's not only where we play throwback music here on the show, but we also take a look at what happened on this Thursday in sports history. Matt, what do we got, man?
Al, we got a couple of interesting things.
Nolan Ryan?
You know, right now I'm not seeing anything about Nolan Ryan.
This is like the third week in a row.
Yeah, he just took late June, early July off, which would be his you know his wheelhouse. You know,
yeah,
the middle of baseball season, but
exactly.
You know what? You do you.
Well, I think we caught what he was trying to do, and
right.
You know he probably said, okay, maybe I'm doing this too much here.
Right.
Maybe just take a step back and.
He's going on Wikipedia editing his
right
page,
editing
trying
stuff.
To take off all those you know
exactly
all the Thursday accomplishments he's had.
Exactly, he knows we were on to him. That's what that was.
Absolutely. All right, let's jump back to 1973.
Okay.
So we can talk about the Tigers a little bit. In a battle of brothers, Detroit's Jim Perry squared off with brother Gaylord Perry of the Cleveland Indians for the first and only time. Detroit and Jim got the win. You always hear about sibling rivalries. That's pretty awesome. You know, rival clubs in the AL Central, they get to pitch against each other.
That's great stuff. That's awesome. I don't know. I always wondered if I put myself in that position. I'll go back to the game, you know, when I was at Channel 6 and Denzel Valentine played his brother, Drew Valentine, at Oakland. I always wonder how I would handle that situation. I mean, with it being your brother, you want to go out. I mean, growing up, they were just naturally competitive. They probably wanted to take each other's heads off.
Right, and basketball is crazy because, I mean, they could be guarding each other. Baseball,
exactly.
At least, you know, pitchers, you know.
Right.
And in the AL, you know.
It's not as direct and in your
right.
face.
Exactly. Okay, let's jump back a little bit farther, actually, for this one because it's pretty awesome. 1966, Atlanta's Tony Cloninger became the first NL pitcher to hit 2 grand slams in one game.
Are you serious? That's unbelievable.
He drove in 9 runs en route to a 17-3 win over the San Francisco Giants.
That's a great day. I'm sure he was popping champagne bottles after that game. That's unbelievable.
2 grand slams.
2. That's unbelievable. Wow.
Might as well be Denny's. That's crazy. Okay,
I can only dream.
Let's keep things moving. All right. Here we go. The NBA in 2001, the NBA owners unanimously approved the move of the Vancouver Grizzlies to Memphis for the upcoming season. It was the death of the Vancouver Grizzlies.
Yep.
I'll never forget those uniforms.
Maybe
worse than the Pistons' teal uniforms or the Vancouver Grizzlies' teal uniforms.
That's a close one. Yeah, I didn't like the grizzly bear on it. I thought it was kind of, because they had the grizzly bear on it in Vancouver, I remember.
He was fiercer. He was clawing out of the jersey almost.
He was clawing. Yeah, that's an ugly jersey.
It is.
But the Pistons is ugly too.
Yeah, the Pistons was hideous.
Yeah.
I do like the Memphis Grizzlies logo though. It's classic.
Yeah.
It's intimidating.
Yeah. I like it a lot too.
I like it. Okay. In 2003, perhaps you've heard of LeBron James. This day in 2003 was when the Cleveland Cavaliers officially assigned him to his first NBA contract.
How about that? Wow.
It paled in comparison to the contract he signed with Nike before that, which was about
$90
million.
$90 million, yep.
Ugh.
Can't forget about that
18
one.
Years old.
Wow.
$90 million
that's,
deal.
That's got to feel it. Did you see Eric Ebron's new Dodge Charger?
I haven't.
Oh, my. If you haven't seen that video, Eric Ebron, the newest tight end, you know, Detroit Lions, number one pick in the draft. You know, he's got this fresh money. You know, we always talk about athletes going broke. But, you know, it's a nice, nice car. He got it custom made. He's got red. It's all red. It's got red rims. You know, he's got Lamborghini doors on it. It's got red halogen lights. Oh, it's unbelievable.
Oh. It's cops nice. Won't see him at all.
Oh, not at all.
Jeez.
They won't know who he is. Yeah.
A red blur flying down the highway.
Yeah.
Oh,
it's
boy.
Nice, man. It's sexy. He's got his logo on the back of it, too.
He has his own logo?
He's got his own logo, yeah. You got to see it.
Oh,
I'll show it to you after the show.
Oh, boy. Okay, here we go. 2003, another big event in 2003. The Colorado Avalanche signed unrestricted free agent forwards Paul Kariya and Teemu Selanne.
Wow, okay.
Reuniting
the
former Anaheim Ducks duo.
Yep.
Both great players. Teemu Selanne is still chugging along at 43 or 44.
He can play so long in hockey.
He can certainly play long in hockey. That's
it's
incredible. He's an iron horse. It's crazy. Okay, 2004, 13th-seeded Russian Maria Sharapova stunned top-seeded and 2-time defending champion Serena Williams in straight sets to win the Wimbledon title.
Oh, some bad deja vu for Serena. She's out. Both of those players are out now.
Both of them.
And how about, I don't want to butcher her name. I think her name is, I won't even try. But she's become the first Canadian to reach the finals in the Wimbledon now. That's unbelievable. That's pretty impressive. I think her name is, Bruchard is her last name. So that's impressive.
Jeannie Bruchard,
exactly. Yep. Eugenie Bruchard from Canada. First Canadian. That startles me. The first Canadian to make it to the a Wimbledon final in either men's and women's. That's impressive.
She's got a shot to win it, too.
She does.
Tough match in the final, but, I mean, they're all tough at this stage in Wimbledon. Crazy to see all the big names that have fallen already, though.
Yeah.
In 2005, Roger Federer captured his third straight Wimbledon title with a straight set victory over American Andy Roddick. Mm-hmm. Tough break for him. This is a sad one for Detroit sports fans. In 2006, Steve Yzerman announced his retirement after 22 glorious years with the Detroit Red Wings.
Sad, but left on a great note.
He did.
Yeah, he did.
He did.
He did. He's a legend.
I mean, I know Gordie Howe, and there's a lot of great players in Red Wings history, but for me.
Yeah, for us growing up, I mean, he was a household name. I mean, growing up in the 90s. Name. Oh, gosh.
That's a good top five. Maybe top five either greatest Red Wings of all time or top five household names.
Yeah, that's pretty impressive.
And they were the Dead Wings.
Right, right.
For decades before he showed up.
He was a savior, man. He came in and, you know, he was that instant superstar. He was unbelievable.
And now they're the most consistent team in professional sports.
Yeah.
And a lot of it is thanks to him. Okay, let's keep things moving. 2011, Novak Djokovic won the Wimbledon men's singles title in four sets over Rafa Nadal. In 2012, the ACC and the Orange Bowl announced a 12-year agreement that will keep the league's champion in the New Year's Day game. And finally, 2013, the Boston Celtics hire Butler's Brad Stevens as their head basketball coach.
How about that? Brad Stevens. I wonder, you know, because this was his first year as head coach, right? I'm not, the Celtics were terrible this year. And I always talks about Rajon Rondo being traded and so on and so forth. I got to see more, you know, even though it was a struggle for him, you're inheriting just a bad team with the Celtics. So that's a small sample size. I think Brad Stevens will be fine in the league. So, all right. Good throwback Thursday. So much happening on today's Throwback Thursday, July 3rd, a day before July 4th. Any July 4th plans, guys? What are you doing, Alex?
Yeah, actually today, after today, we have our inaugural hot dog eating contest.
Yes, on the show.
Sports. But no, this weekend I'm going to be up north. I'm going to probably spend a day at Mackinac Island for getting some chocolates, maybe riding some bikes up there. It'll be pretty nice.
That'd be nice.
Yeah, my grandparents have a place in Gaylord. Michigan.
There you go.
Nice. So, what about you, man? What are you doing, man?
I'm going home. Get to see my nieces and nephew. Very excited. Haven't seen them in a couple months here. They live in New Jersey.
Nice.
So that'll be my Friday.
That's great. And my mom, she just bought I'll be going home later on today, and she just bought this humongous pool in her backyard.
Wow.
I can't swim, though. I don't do water. Have I told you guys that?
Yeah,
I can't swim.
Is it a kiddie pool?
No, it's a pool.
Underground or just a pool?
It's above ground.
Above ground.
Yeah, it's a huge circle thing. She has a huge backyard. It fills up most of the backyard.
Now, you don't do swimming.
Nope.
Mm-mm. But let's say there's a large, like, flotation, you know, like,
oh,
raft.
I'll get in that, but I don't trust my family members.
Okay.
my stepdad will throw me off that thing. I may be drowning. You know what I mean? So, no, we're not. No, uh-uh. Okay. I'll get it. On the 4 feet in, I'll chill out there all day. You know?
Okay.
Some dogs know how to swim.
Yeah, I know. I'm not a dog, though.
I know, but
mostly, I heard a myth that just about all dogs know how to swim. Like, you just throw them in there, and they'll eventually figure out just have to doggy paddle. It's just a natural thing with them. Like, you don't have to teach them to swim.
Right.
Well, they're born with
it. I mean, the thing you got to do is just have another dog that knows how to swim. Send them both out there.
Oh, and then he'll learn from that
dog. Pick it up.
So if I just threw my dog in the pool, she might drown. That's unsafe, huh?
Just if you do that, keep an eye on.
Because I'm not getting to go in there to get her. We'll both be dead. Okay.
Just.
Yeah. But Alex, if they can do it,
that's a dark 4th of July out.
That is dark.
Let's not go down that road. Right?
Dark humor.
Oh gosh.
Oh boy.
Really quickly, guys. Carmelo Anthony. If you guys hadn't heard this story, he's actually meeting with the Los Angeles Lakers today. Kobe Bryant. He cut his European vacation very, very short to link up with Melo. Melo has also met, I believe, with the Chicago Bulls, and Derrick Rose met with him. A lot of superstar-to-superstar talks going on right now, trying to recruit Carmelo Anthony. Where do you guys think he'll go?
I think he's either going to go to Chicago or stay in New York.
I think the opposite. I really can picture him going to L.A., linking up with Kobe. I think Kobe is a veteran, knows how to win. I can't see him going to the Rockets. And I think that Chicago is a good destination for him. But I don't think Chicago is enough to work with. I think Kobe himself is his own brand and can convince him.
I think, it came out that Kobe Bryant cut his vacation short to talk to Carmelo today about possibly coming to L.A. Before I heard that, I thought that Carmelo would be taking his talent to Chicago and link up with Derrick Rose. He's been talking about that left and right. Remember the conversation at the All-Star break with him and Joakim Noah? Hey, how is it to play for Tom Thibodeau? And then that whole thing blew up into the phenomenon that it was. But, you know, Kobe Bryant, such an influential figure, a convincing guy. Yes. He's one of the greats of all time. I just think, and you know, Kobe and Carmelo have had a very, very close relationship throughout their entire time, going back to USA Basketball. I think Kobe may be able to woo him.
You guys are crazy.
I think he may go to LA.
Why are we crazy for that?
Because Carmelo wants to win, Los Angeles is the absolute last place.
No, hold on.
But it's still the Lakers, though. Just the aura.
The Lakers are not the Lakers anymore. Yeah, Kobe Bryant is not Kobe Bryant anymore. Right, he's got the biggest contract in the NBA. They're not going to be able to build a team that will actually win games around two contracts the size of Kobe's and Carmelo's, potentially. They won't have any money to fill out the roster.
Those two linking up alone. I mean, the single fact that Kobe is meeting with Carmelo and talking to him. It's Kobe Bryant we're talking about.
I hear you there.
Kobe Bryant is arguably the best player other than LeBron James that we've seen in this era so far. And you know, when Kobe talks, I mean, things start to move. And the relationship that those two have, I could see it. I think he may go to LA. I don't know.
And I know Kobe was injured and he's not the same Kobe, but Kobe still can fix his game and still be dominant. I mean, he's, as much as his ACL thing really ruined him, he's still, right when he came back, he's still going up and dunking. I mean, he's still doing things Kobe Bryant can do.
I can see him convincing Carmelo. I can just see in that meeting.
I do not see it. Think about the team he would have in Chicago if he went there.
Yeah,
Derrick Rose.
It would be a very solid Jimmy Butler team. Yeah.
Carmelo Anthony, Taj Gibson, and Joakim Noah.
I had Chicago winning the championship this year.
I would have them winning the championship next year if they can do that. All Chicago needs is scoring, and that's more or less all Carmelo does.
Yeah, and you talk about L.A. now with Paul Gasol, and Paul is in talks with multiple teams
now. He's talking to the Thunder.
He's talking to the OKC right now. But I still if he goes, that frees up some more cap room, and some moves will be made. There's going to be moves made. If Carmelo does go to L.A., there's going to be
much money tied up in guys who are 36 or older.
And that's another conversation I want to have next week on Current Sports about paying old guys extensive contracts. It's a conversation I've been waiting to bring out on the show. We'll talk about that next week. But I would not be surprised. I think with Kobe and Carmelo talking, man, I don't know. I think Carmelo may
and
be
I know they're
easily
older.
Convinced.
Yeah, I know they're older, Al, but look at the Miami Heat. That team, besides for those three, are all older.
Yeah, that was the oldest team in the league.
So I could see that similar model happening.
And the thing, though, with that conversation, again, we'll have it next week, but with that conversation, contracts weigh so heavily in that conversation because I feel as though there are so many guys who are old and out of, you know, I wouldn't say out of shape, but past their prime, if you will, who are getting paid just too much money based on their legacy and what they've done in the past. You know, too many. I think Kobe Bryant is one of those guys.
I think he's at the top of the
list.
Yeah,
I think Kobe Bryant, you know, is one of those guys where, you know, he hasn't been, you know, there's been talks in the past about how his contract didn't reflect what he, you know, his presence out there on the court and his overall legacy. His paycheck didn't reflect that. And finally now where they got some wiggle room, they possibly just want to go all out and just give him what they feel as though he deserved past tense back in the day. Does he deserve it now? No. I mean, Kobe didn't barely play last year. But it's another conversation we'll have next week. I could see Melo rocking an LA jersey, though.
No way.
I don't know. We'll see, man. All right. Well, we are out of time, folks. Thanks so much for joining us here on today's Current Sports. They have a fantastic July 4th. You've been listening to Current Sports with me, Al Martin, WKRE East Lansing. As always, take care. Again, have a fantastic holiday weekend and be easy, people.